Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. We got drunk history. We're going to give you extra episodes in July and August to fire you up for the season. I gave you Bounty Gate last Friday as a gift with Reed Gilbert. He wrote the book on Bounty Gate. It's phenomenal. We were both just shit-faced out of our minds. It was great. We got the 2010 season coming up. That's going to be released next Monday. So you get those two episodes in late August, July, late July, August, to fire you up. Because training camp's here. We survived the offseason. It's here. Dave, if you would have... We were talking about who's going to be training camp superstar, who the media is going to gush over. We named like 800 different people during the offseason in the doldrum times. Not once did Brandon Coleman's name come up. That dude, he is like the runaway leader like 4 days in, man. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I think one of us, it might have been me, that said Coleman was going to be like the camp bust. the opposite.
So, David.
Hey, that's good news for Saints fans, right?
Well, Saints Twitter didn't like Brandon Coleman. They don't like Brandon Coleman. They think he's terrible. They feel like the Saints need to have 4 to 5 All-Pro wide receivers. And they won't tolerate Brandon Coleman being, just playing special teams and dropping like 1 out of every 10 balls is not acceptable. But I guess my question to you, Andrew, is like, how much of this is like real and how much of this is just Brandon Coleman, he's
Adrian Arrington 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, like, is he going to catch more than 30 balls? And has anything changed on him?
Well, first of all, he's already done that. Like, he's already been, and I'm not going to say good, but he's a real NFL player. Adrian Arrington was never a real NFL player. I mean, how many catches did Arrington have in his career? 2?
Yeah, I think 2.
Yeah. So, I mean, Coleman's already
been. But they were probably both touchdowns
in the preseason. Coleman's already legit, but I think the main thing for me is, the light comes on at different times. I really think part of the thing with the NFL is that
Adrian Arrington, nine catches.
Well, I think it's worse now that
two catches.
Fans want guys to be good as rookie. It's not even the fans; it's coaches, it's management. Like, people want rookies to be good. They want, like, by your second or third year, if you haven't done anything, people are ready to write you off. And the reality is everyone learns and light comes on at a different time. And, this is a case in point. Like, sometimes you stick it out with a guy for long enough and you reap the benefits of it. And I hope he does. I mean, the interesting thing is, so he's put on like 10 pounds, which I think, he's got more strength. He's going to be able to maybe use more power. But Mike Dettillier was saying today, he's gained 10 pounds, but he looks a lot faster out there. So that means it's been all muscle, and he's done a good job of staying lean and keeping his legs strong to get some speed to go with it. So, I don't know. It's pretty exciting for a guy of his size.
His agent probably sent him screen grabs of Sanu's contract with Atlanta. Sanu had never caught more than like 50 balls, and he got like a 4-year, $28 million contract. So his agent's like, look, if you can catch 45 passes this year and next year, when you get to free agency, I'll get you 5 years, $35 million, which isn't insane, Dave. But
the quote was, he's kind of felt like it was like now or never.
Yeah. I thought
Travon Dural, what's his name? Travon
Dural
or whatever. Yeah, Travon Dural.
I thought he was. I thought he's the receiver that everybody's been talking about.
Well, he was an LSU guy, so that was that sort.
I think that's more just where he's from. But I mean, as far as I've heard, the receivers that have really stood out, besides the obvious, I mean, Snead and Mike Thomas will look good, but it's been. Coleman, of course, is like the superstar of camp, and then Corey Fuller's been the other guy that's looked really good.
Oh yeah, that's right, Corey Fuller.
Anyway, they could both make it. Could that happen?
Both being who?
Fuller,
Coleman and who?
Coleman and Fuller.
Well, I think Coleman's in. You know, I would almost venture to say Coleman has a better chance of making the team than Ted Ginn almost, just because now they need Ted Ginn. You know, he needs to be the deep receiver, but I think Coleman just does so much for this team in terms of blocking, and you know, there's a role that he fills on this team that he does better than anyone else. I don't think there's a receiver on this team that blocks better than him, so they need him. But yes, I think that's four receivers and five make a team, sometimes six. You know, I think this year they maybe are more likely to keep four. And the reason I would say that is because Ginn and Kamara both offer special teams return ability. So, you know, a lot of times your fifth receiver will be your kick returner. And that's not going to be the case this year. So, but I think, you know, if you were to aggregate the years, there's been a lot of times where they've kept five. And if there's a fifth guy, I would say right now, my money would be on Fuller.
Dave, it's a summer tradition like no other, and that tradition is Saints cornerbacks.
The Masters?
No, it's the Saints corners dropping like flies as soon as they start to practice. And today, Bro didn't practice, and Lattimore walked off the field like four plays in.
Yep, it's almost time for hernia surgery for Lattimore.
Oh, my. Shut your whore mouth.
I'm looking at my watch right now, and I'd say we got about a week to go.
If we have any listeners in Philadelphia, that's where the number one guy is. I don't know his name, but that's where the sports hernia guru is. If you see any Saints players walking around the city of brotherly love, DM me, and we'll get you on the podcast. We'll do a live breaking news update.
Slide into Ralph's DMs.
Slide into my DMs, and we'll make you a star.
Yeah, that's the good guy. He replaces the sports hernias with the goat sports hernias.
So, but Andrew, Lattimore, Sean Payton says he's not going to talk about injuries after every practice, which, boo, Sean Payton. We don't give a shit about anything else that you have to say after practice, really.
Yeah, but that's nothing new.
Yeah, but like Lattimore, even, you know, fans a lot of time, even with rookies, they're like, oh, he'll be out, but he'll be ready for the regular season. But, like, rookies need to fucking practice more than, like Unger, you could be like, he can not practice. He'll be good to go. You know, he's fine. But rookies, they need to practice. So, like, Lattimore can't miss, like, even a week.
He left under his own power, first of all. So it's not like he was carted off. And
he was dehydrated.
Thank please.
Yeah, it's 95 degrees. I mean, half the time guys are kind of walking off. They're cramping.
Yeah.
I mean, especially a guy like Lattimore who, you know, has had hamstring injuries in the past, hamstring issues, and, you know, he's a rookie. Does he know how to hydrate himself properly for the Louisiana heat? Probably not. I mean, he practically was an Ohio State player, so, you know.
Probably playing out in the sun. You know, what's it in Ohio, like 70 degrees now?
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's back on the field tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, both of you, it's written in the stars. Like, it's kind of perfect.
It's not good.
Like, Bro and Lattimore are both already out. It's like right on schedule for Saints.
Swans failing their conditioning test.
Yeah.
But
the Saints starting quarterbacks for week 7 aren't even currently on their roster.
Yeah, we're probably what guys, like a fortnight away from ACL tear for Sterling Moore.
Poor Sterling Moore. So Dave, there's a lot of good news at training camp. Like, the draft picks are looking pretty good, like all of them. We can go through. I didn't hear anything about
Ramchek.
I didn't hear anything good or bad about Ramchek today, but like all the other ones, like Kumara,
he's been going with the ones on the
yeah,
left side. I mean,
with the ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's got to be doing well if he's been running with the ones.
Ramchek's gonna, I predict Ramchek's gonna be your opening day left tackle. That's my prediction.
So far, it looks like that.
Khalif Barnes, I'm worried.
Oh, Khalif Barnes. Khalif Barnes. Is Khalif Barnes confident enough to like do a long term rental, or is he still doing Airbnb by the week with the Saints?
I think he's on solid. I mean, they need a third tackle for now. So I think he's on pretty solid footing.
But like,
his competition is Bryce Harris, for Christ's sake.
Bryce Harris, man.
Wait, so here's the question. If Ramchek solidifies himself as the starting left tackle, he plays awesome, and Armstead comes back whenever, middle of the season, happens?
Dream scenario. I don't know, Andrew. That's a good question.
I think if Armstead comes back, he's the left tackle. So I think
no way. I'm saying like Ramchek is playing very well. Like not just holding up the left side, but I mean he's playing very well, and he's obviously a franchise caliber left tackle.
Then you bench Streif.
And you put Ramchek.
You put Armstead on the right side.
No, you put
if you can do it, or you put Ramchek over there. I mean, you got to play your best players, and if those end up being your two best tackles, I mean, you find a way to put them both on the field. I don't really care who plays left and who plays right, but. You know, I would think it would make more sense to probably have Ramchek playing on the right side.
Yeah, and at least at first.
That assumes
perfect health for the offensive line, you know? But I definitely think, Dave, your question is a good one, and I put it this way. If Ramchek's playing awesome, they're not going to bench Ramchek. Like somebody else will be benched. It won't be him. You know, right. like if he's playing great and everybody's like, he's all rookie, he's looking phenomenal, I can't believe he didn't get picked sooner. Like, they won't bench him. They might, you know, they could do all sorts of different things, you know, depending on injuries and all that. But speaking of the rookie class, Andrew, it's looking good. Like Kamara made a big play. Williams had an interception. You know, we talked about Lattimore, but even Lattimore before the injury, he was looking pretty good as far as like getting reps, battling. Anal Zone is up and down. He looks good, but then Kamara roasts him, so it's a yin and a yang. It's the yin and the yang of
Trey Hendrickson's looked real good.
Yeah, man. My bet with the new runner of Saints Nation, Brian, we have a bet that Hendrickson, I said he won't get more than 2.5 sacks. And when he's playing the three and roasting Pete today, I was a little nervous. I'm getting a little nervous, Andrew. That 2.5 sack number, man, it's not looking as strong as I thought it did a week and a half ago.
He's totally getting 3 sacks this year.
Even Muhammad even looked great. You talk about Muhammad got a sack. I mean, the draft. We have enough practices to declare it the best draft since 2006, right?
The guy didn't even play football last year, and you know, there's not as many Muhammad truthers as there are PJ Williams truthers, but there's a lot.
I haven't run into these people yet.
Oh yeah, no, there's Muhammad truthers out there.
The truthers.
Yeah, I've seen them on my Saints Nation account when I used to tweet.
Oh,
you know, and I remember saying, like, someone asked me which rookie was least likely to make the team, and I said, well, obviously that's got to be Muhammad, and like several fans flamed on me for saying that.
No,
yeah, they're like, Muhammad's gonna be a beast, he could start.
So, you know, I haven't heard the name, I haven't heard much is Guachum. Is
Obum.
I feel like he might be on the bubbles, Dave. Like off the bubble, like
speaking of Brian. Speaking of Saints Nation and Brian, he's a huge Guachum truther.
Guachum, I just like saying it. It's fun to say. I want him.
Obum.
I want Guachum to have like 8.5 sacks. I Obum. Might be able to get his whole name by like November if he got to double digit sacks. But you know, the thing is, at least the rookies so far, they're healthy. I mean, I guess, Dave, I'm trying to think, like, the 2014 draft, like, we knew, I think it's obviously, I was joking that we can clearly say that this draft is the best since 2006. We don't know that. But I feel like, Dave, the 2014 draft, that was a disaster. Like, we knew it was a disaster early because all the linebackers they drafted were hurt and weren't playing or were playing terrible, like, a week in. So, at least knowing that this isn't a draft, isn't a disaster a week in or signs of it, that's good, right?
Yeah, let's see what happens next week. I mean, but in all seriousness, yes, you have a point. So far things are looking very good, and so my feeling is that they're looking too good.
Too good.
This is going too well.
But Andrew, I remember like 2014, like a weekend, like we were like, oh, this is not good with all the linebackers they picked. Like it was like you kind of knew.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like as long as they're the thing is you want them and the thing is with, you know, Anzalone, he's running. He's with the ones. I mean, they're all getting a lot of they're like, I think the first, say, Ramchak, Lattimore, Williams, and Kamara, they're all gonna be, unless they are really bad and like a show of disaster, like they're gonna play. Is that crazy, Andrew?
Oh yeah. Like, no, I agree.
They're gonna like they might be like you might play and you might be like 5 weeks in.
The defense isn't good enough for them not to.
Yeah, like they might suck, but they're gonna play. And I would say Anzalone even maybe is gonna play. Like he's gonna they're gonna give him every opportunity.
He's the one I'm not sure about.
Why is that?
Just because they have so many vets, you know, if all these guys come out healthy, Robertson, Anthony, Manti Te'o, AJ Klein, I'm just not sure Anzalone comes in and starts over all those guys year one.
Yeah. I ran into some Klein truthers that were trying to explain to me why Klein is a sure thing. But Dave, Are you going to make any of the camps? Have you reserved your spot? You have to reserve the tickets now.
My day is Thursday.
Oh.
but I never I didn't sign up to get the tickets. I have jury duty on Thursday.
Oh, jury duty.
I mean, I could probably switch days, but yeah, I would like to. I'm going to wait until, you know, most Saints fans' enthusiasm dies down. I mean, they've been selling out a lot of the tickets available for training camp. So right now, everybody's like super excited.
How many does it hold at the training? I forgot how much it holds.
I think they were giving out like 2,000 tickets. It may hold a little bit more than that. But I think they had 2,000 tickets. But I would like to go. I'd like to take my son, and I'd like to go at least one time and check it out.
Andrew, when they were at the Greenbrier, how many fans like were at the practices that you went?
On the weekends, it was packed. So, you know, Saturday, Sunday is, I mean, there was, well, packed is a relative term. But, you know, there were, I would say, the probably the most packed I saw was 1,000 people.
Wow. The Texans are up there this year, and they're like, they had 150 people at practice. And I thought to myself, I was like, the Saints were drawing more than 150 at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Way more. But, you know, there were days during the week that was the best time to go because, you know, there was probably, especially the first year I went, I mean, I was there on a Tuesday in the middle of the day, you know, when people have work or whatever. And so there was maybe 30 people there, and that's the time to go, in my opinion. I mean, obviously they're not at the Greenbrier, they're not away from New Orleans anymore. But you know, if you went on a Tuesday in the afternoon, there was 30 people. You get every signature you want.
Yeah. So
you know, because a lot of times they won't sign autographs. So like, if it's so crowded, they're like, man, I don't even want to mess with this, and they won't do it. You know.
Well, the Texans don't know about the curse of the Greenbrier. They don't know that their season's ruined before it began. I'm waiting for J.J. Watt's leg to fall off because we all know
They also didn't wrong Darren Sproles' wife. So
I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I think it's Darren Sproul's wife and the Greenbrier. So maybe his leg won't fall off. He'll just like have a sports hernia. Here's another thing that we need to talk about. We'll talk about the bad first, Andrew. Dude, what's with the Saints centers? They apparently snapping the ball over Drew Brees' head. It was like a mini I saw like four different tweets of like bad snaps, and it wasn't like multiple guys saying that repeating. It was like bad snaps like all day long today.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's concerning. I mean, obviously, when you don't have Max Unger in the mix, it's an opportunity.
So
you got Jack Allen, who was the undrafted rookie from Michigan State last year, and you've got Derubius from the Redskins, who started for them, and I think some people felt like he had a decent shot at making the team, but he was missing some snaps too. So, and I think they're probably going to get a new guy this week.
Ugh. The thing is, people were talking about Nick Mangold, but I don't think Nick Mangold wants to come in and be like the Saints' backup center.
I don't think he makes sense because he's not going to want to come into a situation where Unger's back in a week or 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Good news for the Saints. Another thing, Dave, Will Lutz is like a fucking cyborg. I don't think he's missed a kick in like 3 days.
A new special teams coach might also be helping that. But look, it's all starting to come together, guys. Defense, special teams. This is the year. This is the year, guys.
It is. Well, I mean, look, but seriously, if their special teams could not be a disaster, I feel like it could, even if their defense isn't that much better, I feel like their special teams not being a disaster, Dave, could flip them to 9-7.
Yeah, not giving up
blocks. We'll lose a game on some crazy bad snap.
Yeah, not losing a game on a blocked kick that goes back for a score is that would help. That would help their record.
People on Twitter seemed really concerned about Ted Ginn, that he gets wide open and he drops passes all the time. But we knew that going in.
Does that all the time.
Yeah. But
and clearly they have not been watching the Carolina Panthers.
Well, here's the thing, though. I didn't expect it to seem like I'm excited for the Ted Ginn experience. So, like, Dave, I guess for me, like, what is your reasonable hope for Ted Ginn? Because, you know, he's dropping a bunch of balls. Like, that's not a bug with Ted Ginn. That's a feature of the Ted Ginn experience. So, like, what's your reasonable expectations of Ted Ginn in 2017 for the Saints? I'm excited about it because the drops and the 80-yard touchdowns will just be, it'll be phenomenal. There'll be like no middle ground with Ted Ginn. It's going to be phenomenal. But what is your expectations for him?
Well, when they first signed him, I mean, I didn't even think that they really signed him to be have a big role in as a receiver. I thought he was supposed to be more of a return guy, but
well, you were picturing Brandon Coleman exploding in camp.
Yes,
like who did you think was going to be ahead of him?
I certainly think I figured it was going to be Thomas Snead and Coleman. Yeah, not necessarily because Coleman was going to be amazing, but just because that's who it was. That's who's on the team. I don't know. I just never really thought Ginn having a huge role as a receiver, but obviously I was wrong. I haven't been expecting anything more than him returning just one kickoff for a touchdown in the entire season. I mean, he only needs to do that to technically make me happy. But
he's dropping a bomb. It's coming. It's happening.
He's
in
going
a real
to.
Game.
Oh, it is! It is definitely going to happen. I mean, it's uncanny how he has a knack for it. He really does.
But I guess my question is, Andrew. I guess like what?
I mean, all I gotta say is I remember fans turning on Devery Henderson for dropping balls, deep balls, and he went to LSU.
Yeah.
So when Ginn starts pulling this, the fans are gonna be merciless. Yeah. He's gonna be hated. He gets my vote for like most likely to be. Go from like Saints fans kind of being excited about him to just being utterly despised.
Yeah. So you think he's going to be a disaster then? Like that's your reasonable expectation.
I think Saints fans are irrational. Like decide they hate someone, and sometimes they're not even that bad, and it doesn't matter. He's going to be that guy.
If he can be Devery.
I mean, look, fans hate Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman is hated.
That is true.
He's been hated up to this point, up until camp. Fans have despised Brandon Coleman for totally irrational reasons.
Yeah, it's true. Well, here's my reasonable expectations for Ted Ginn. That is Devery Henderson 2006. You bring him up, but he's sort of kind of beloved now, right? But in 2006, he caught 32 balls for 745 yards. He averaged 23.3 yards a catch. His catch
was kind of hated.
But he was kind of hated because it was
not in 2006.
Well, yeah, because I made jokes about him. Like, he was like a toddler trying to catch a beach ball. Like, it was always like touch and go with Devery Henderson. Like, trying to, he would throw it.
He got a lot better.
He did. No, he proved it. And the thing is, but at the time you were like, well, they drafted him in 2004. We thought he was a bust because he didn't play. And now he's leading the league in yards per catch. So that's cool. But he really struggles to catch the ball. And there was a lot of times where he was like wide open and dropping balls. But he also caught like huge. He had a big couple big catches in the playoff game. He had the big catch against Atlanta. He had the two big touchdowns against Dallas. So he was big fun that year, but he dropped a lot of balls too. So,
It's kind of weird how you look at Henderson's career and he couldn't catch a cold early in his career. And then as he got older, he just got a lot better. He was much, much better at catching the football. With Meacham and Colston, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
The older they got, the harder it became for them to catch the ball.
Colston never was the same after that 2014 opening game in Atlanta.
Like the fumble, you mean?
The fumble, yeah. And he dropped the ball. He was just never the same. And like he got the yips, man. But I think that's a like to me that's the ceiling for Ted Ginn. Like 40 catches. 750 yards, 5 touchdowns, runs a punt back, runs a kickoff back,
sign me up right now.
Has three or four big, huge catches that swing games, but also has one or two drops, like Dave says, that you were like walking out the Superdome like, that motherfucker, he was so open. How did he drop it?
Here's the thing. When you're the Carolina Panthers and you have one of the top defenses in the NFL, which at the time when he was playing for them, they did, you can get away with dropping a bunch of those balls because your defense is going to make stops. You'll get another opportunity, and it's not that big of a deal.
Not the Saints.
With the Saints, nope. Where you hold on to every play and it means life or death,
nope.
Because your defense can't stop anyone, the game's over when you drop a ball like that.
Yeah. So
we feel we're going to feel the weight of those drops. I mean, hopefully the defense has improved, but I'm just saying traditionally the Saints feel the weight of plays like that a lot more than a team like the defense of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, it's the same.
Our defense this year is going to be awesome, so no problem.
Yeah, it's the same. Well, Andrew, it's kind of the same thing with like when they drop an interception on defense or they have a chance to get a fumble and they just like, for whatever reason, it's like 6 Saints guys fall in it, but they end up not with the ball. You're like, how the it's like, they just, they're, what did Sean Payton say last year when they played Atlanta, the Monday night game, and they led 7-0 and they forced a 3-and-out and they punt and Tommy Lee fumbled the punt. Like after the game, Sean Payton was like totally just like pissed off. And he basically said that he's like, we're just not good enough to overcome like, even like one or two mistakes I forgot how he phrased it. It was like margin of error,
something.
And he's right. You know, they can't. So it'll be interesting. But I mean, so far so good. But you know, and we've talked about this before. Andrew is like signs that things are going well. But like, at right defensive end. You know, that's the thing that I harp on. They got to get 10 sacks. They got to get 10 sacks. Is there a certain guy of Kikaha, of Hendrickson, is there a certain guy that you are going to have your eye on in practice and maybe especially in the first preseason game that you are really interested and you think is going to be sort of the next guy behind Okafor?
Yeah, well, I was going to say we haven't heard much about Okafor yet.
No,
I mean,
we have
he's
not.
The guy that I expect him to start and I expect him to be the guy, but we haven't heard much about him. We have heard a lot about Kikaha and Hendrickson. So I'm encouraged because I think, you know, if Okafor starts and you know, their sub packages involve Kikaha and Kikaha and Hendrickson both kind of coming in at different times to help the pass rush. I mean, I think if that could work. I mean, I'd be excited about that. Can those three combine to get 10 sacks? I don't think that's out of the question.
Could they get me? Could they get you 12? If they could get me 12, if you could guarantee me 12 right now, I'll sign the papers.
Well, I definitely can't guarantee that. But it'd be nice.
Dave, as you look at this, more likely to happen, Grayson is on the Saints opening day roster, or Trump goes a whole month without firing anybody.
The Saints usually carry three quarterbacks, don't they? I mean, they usually
do.
They have the last couple of years. Well, no, last year they didn't.
No.
Well, it's not that unusual for the Saints to keep three quarterbacks on the roster.
Have you seen how much
very unusual for it would be very unusual for Donald Trump not to fire somebody within the next month. So I'm going to have to go with the Saints.
Andrew.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I mean, someone's getting fired tomorrow.
Oh. So that wraps it. And by the way, people, I'm going to build the fantasy leagues this week, this weekend, and so you're going to have the auction league and you're going to have the regular league. Kevin and me will play in the auction league. Me and Andrew will play in the regular league, and you can make a donation.
Are we getting Dave to play Dave, this year, Dave? Or are you complaining again about how many leagues you're in?
No, I'm not playing.
Damn. You're missing out, Dave. You're missing out. The drafts are the best.
Remind me again what the excuse is. You've got too many leagues or something?
Yeah, I don't have too many. I only like to play in one league. I like to focus on one league.
Why? Why focus on just one when you can be terrible at multiple ones? That's my attitude.
I don't know. It's a whole bunch of money. The winner gets like $800.
$800? Damn, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I knew a guy who was in a league where that you literally were only allowed to be in one league, and they had an auctioneer that they would hire for their auction draft and do it for them.
That's awesome.
And it was like a grand to play. It was like oil and gas executives, and they asked me to play, and I was like, I want to do it, but I'm like $1,000. I'm so bad at fantasy football. I could waste that money just doing regular gambling. And that's what
you do that already.
I do.
Yes.
So at least you might as well get, you know, 15 weeks of fun out of it.
Well,
plus you get to participate in a live auctioneer.
The auctioneer. I wanted to go, so I should have done it. I wonder if they had like a old school like Texas auctioneer with like a cowboy hat. So we're gonna set that up. So you and I'll roll it out, and you can join, and I'll explain how much it is and all that. And everybody that plays loves it. We already have like people wanting to be in it, so they're trying to reserve their spots, but I'll let you know. So, and we'll have that. So we'll get to the questions. Andrew, this is from Velveteen Rico. What would be more enjoyable, sweeping the Falcons next season or splitting the games but winning the game in Atlanta 28-3? Oh, that's a great, Velveteen. That's a great question, my friend.
That's a great question. Oof. I still want to sweep them. That would be more amazing.
I don't know, man. Beating them 28-3. I guess. I mean.
Yeah, I mean the mockery. The mockery's nice and all, but you know, at the end of the day, that you, the Patriots did that to him. The Saints didn't, you know, and we would just
That's why really it should be not beating them 28-3. It should be overcoming a 25-point deficit and beating the Falcons.
right.
Yeah.
And if the Saints did that, think about how awesome that game would be. That awesomeness of that one game might supersede sweeping them.
Yeah, I feel like, though, if you sweep them, you increase the Saints' playoff odds by a lot.
Yes.
Oh, well, you're taking other external things into play.
Well, absolutely.
Well, it's just like one. You just think of it. I mean, but it.
Look, you're offering me a chance for the Saints to go 2-0 with 14 games left, and be four games ahead of the Falcons, basically, if you include the tiebreaker, three games ahead, and also they beat the Falcons twice. How could you talk me out of that?
Yeah,
like, I don't care what happens in one game. Like, if you give me two wins over them, done.
Yeah. Although, Velveteen, that's a great question, because beating them 28-3 or overcoming a 28-3 lead would be amazing.
It would.
This is from Alfredo. Given it's summertime, what is your favorite snowball flavor, Dave?
Oh, I probably eat about two a day. I take the kids and we go to Plum Street. I mean, not two a day, two a week.
Two a day? I was going to say me.
I was about to say cheese.
No, we probably get one or two. We're good for one or two a week.
Dave smells like nougat.
See, I actually mix it up. I don't have like a standard flavor. I just always, I like to go for fruity, tropical-y, you know, flavors watermelon, mango, pineapple. You know, that's the kind of stuff I get. I don't mess with any of that
wedding cake. Next question.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't mess with any of that creamy stuff. The
wedding cake is where it's at.
The cream flavors, none of that.
Cherry cheesecake is strong. Let's see.
There's a place near me too on Hampson, right behind where O'Henry's used to be, right by Camellia Grill, called Snola, and they do stuffed. They do stuffed snowballs. And it'll come in like a mason jar, and they'll put like a little bit of snowball on the bottom, and then they put like a creamed filling, and then they'll do like other different flavors, and then they whipped cream and all this other extravagant stuff. It looks pretty cool.
I like condensed milk on my snowball every once in a while.
Even think I've ever had that.
It's interesting. It's good.
That sounds disgusting.
This is from you're a hell you too healthy. Andrew, you treat your body like a temple. That's why. Matt asked Andrew a legitimate football question. Do you see Anzalone better as a QB spy or a blitzer?
You know, everything I've read about him is that he's better in coverage. So, you know, I mean, he's definitely got the speed, I think, to potentially be a spy. But I think his forte is going to be coverage. And I think if there's a way on the field for him, it's going to be in nickel or dime sub packages where he's not going to have the headset, but so I guess it's nickel, but he'll have a chance to cover running backs, cover tight ends, do that sort of thing. So that would be my guess as to what he could do best. But between the two, I would pick blitzer.
Still has tremendous hair, nicknamed Thor. Yeah. I call him Florida Man Thor because he's from Florida. I just want to see.
I mean, spying quarterbacks too. You kind of sit in idle, whereas if he's blitzing, you're getting more video of the flowing lock.
If Kikaha and Anzalone are both good, Andrew, is that the best hair duo the Saints defense has ever had?
Oh, imagine if they sandwich sack a quarterback with their flowing locks kind of colliding into each other. Oh my God!
It's the best hair defense.
It would be poetry in motion.
It would be. I if that happened, I would screen grab it, and that would be my avatar for like a month.
Could you imagine the GIF? I mean, the possibilities.
Just slow motion hair waving. Set it to like classical music. Dave, this is from Lewis. On a scale of 1 to Onomo Ojo, where is the Corey Fuller hype? Onome Ojo, I should say.
Maybe at like Hollis Thomas.
Walter Thomas, you mean?
Walter Thomas.
No, Hollis Thomas. It's up there. It's up there.
I mean, I feel
Can't wait. I can't wait till the first preseason game where he makes like some 75-yard grab, and then it's going to be pretty much up to Ojo level.
I mean, the gold standard for camp hype is Michael Thomas. He was all they were all about it, and then in the first preseason game against the Patriots, he was awesome, and it just went to a whole other level. I mean, Andrew, can Fuller reach that? I don't know. That's the gold standard.
I think the goal has to be Adrian Arrington for him.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good question. Dave, by the end of training camp, what will we have lost more of, defensive backs or Trump aides?
That's pretty similar to the other question.
I got
question.
Another Trump theme.
Now, this one's close for me.
This, yeah.
They both drop like flies.
Yeah, no, definitely more defensive backs. We're going to lose way more defensive backs.
I would say over-under for Trump aides is like 2. Because you got until the week after Labor Day. So you got like 6, what? You got like 5-6 weeks. So I would say the over-under for Trump is 2. So if you think the Saints will lose more defensive backs than 2?
No, absolutely.
Yes.
What? This
Without
is
a doubt.
This is another great Trump theme question.
They lost 2 today.
Yeah, but they might be back. I mean, so here's another great Trump theme question. This is from Eric. What is a more dangerous for your career, playing defensive back for the Saints or working for Trump? That's a good question.
You've got a lot of these DBs.
God, everybody's on the Trump. Same page here.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Our listeners are. We have a groupthink, but it's good. I like it. So, what's more dangerous, Andrew?
How is it phrased? What's more dangerous to your health?
Let's see.
To your career.
So, what's more dangerous to your career? Working for Trump or being a Saints defensive back?
That's a tough one because I think once you work for Trump, you might be unhireable. But
that's true.
But if you're injured, I mean, then how the chances of coming back in the NFL are very tough.
And look at the injuries. So, I mean, PJ Williams.
But you still get paid. Paid for the year.
But look at Keenan Lewis. The dude can't get a job. He's done.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a tough one.
It's tough, man.
Because he's got twig legs.
I lean probably the Saints, being a defensive back for the Saints is worse for your career because at least if you're a Trump aide and you get fired, there's like a...
You're old. Like you've already had success.
Yeah,
in life.
But there's like a 25-30% chance that you could be a talking head on Fox News or have like a radio show. With the Saints, you get injured at defensive back, there's nowhere to go. You're done. You know, well, Corey White found employment and Patrick Robinson too. So maybe I still say it's probably Saints defensive back. So that about wraps it up for the questions. Thanks to everybody. Wrap it up. So all you people are retired. I should have started the show. It's just retired bloggers and a drunk.
Where's Kevin?
I don't know where. He's power bombing. He's out wrestling practices.
Power bombing his girlfriend.
No. We're not crude and disgusting on this show. That's rude. He's not power bombing. He's taking her out to a nice seafood dinner and then they're going to watch WWE Raw and then they're going to bone like hamsters. Have some class, Dave. Have some class. So that about does it. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, Andrew, how optimistic are you about the Saints after 1 week of camp or half a week of camp or whatever?
I mean, they seem convinced that Armstead's coming back eventually. That makes me feel a little better. The Fairley thing, it just sucks. I mean, and that's the thing I can't really get over. Do I feel a little bit better after camp? Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that's happened that's been exciting. So it makes me a little more optimistic. But you know, we'll wait and see. Look, the main thing for me is they need to win a preseason game. I mean, we haven't seen them do that in like 10 tries. So I need to see that first before anything else.
Dave, on a scale of 1 to 10, how optimistic are you?
I'll put it at a 7. I'm slightly more optimistic now after 1 week, but
really,
that's definitely a fluctuating number. But yeah,
you were down in the dumps, weren't you? After
yes, and I could very quickly go right back there.
Okay, all it takes is one Kikaha preseason sack.
But I'm just gonna ride the waves and go with the flow, and I'm not gonna be. You know, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. So far, what we've seen, I'm happy about it.
So are you going to be quick to dive off the board? If
I'll be back down to a 3 next week, I'm sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm an eight with optimism. I feel like the special teams are going to be better. No one has died yet in camp, so that's a positive. I'm feeling really good about it until the first preseason game where they get gashed up the middle, and you're like, oh fuck, they don't have fairly, they're fucked. Until that time, and they don't have any injuries, I'm feeling really good about things. I'm like an 8.5 right now, but I'm like Dave. I could plummet to a -2. All it takes is one bad injury, and I'm there. So, just find Andrew on the Twitters. He'll be there. Dave will be doing his preview column for 2020. He's gonna incorporate. He's going to incorporate the Saints, Pelicans.
The year 2020, not the news broadcast program.
Actually, Dave will be, jury duty and basically sentencing someone to death.
Dave, to get out of jury duty, you know what you should do? You should wear a Ray Lewis jersey to the jury duty proceedings. That is a 100% guaranteed way to get out of jury duty.
Just oh man!
Yeah, you could wear like a free Jeffrey Dahmer shirt or something. You're probably not getting selected. OJ didn't do it. You could wear.
You could have a shirt that says OJ single and ready to mingle. there's many options for you to get out of jury duty, Dave. Text me we'll work something
out. I'm excited for OJ getting out of jail. This is going to be fun.
He's going to have a reality show in about 10 seconds, and it'll be making him millions of dollars. He's going to be on E! He's going to be Keeping Up with the Kardashians, OJ on the Run. I'm saying it, man. It's going to happen. Be ready, America. So
OJ on the Run.
For Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA. Until next week, the bar is closed.